I've been thinking for 3 or 4 weeks about what to bring as a word to you this morning. And there's been so many things that have come into my mind that would be good to share. And I've been trying to organize my thoughts because at one point I had the bones of about 7 different sermons. And so certainly not going to bring all of these, but God's speaking all the time, and it's about trying to capture what he wants to say to you today, and I hope and I believe that there's something for everyone today. It's sometimes just about opening our eyes and opening our ears to God, and God's already been speaking through the service, through the worship, through the children's talk, even through the introductory words that John was given. And I think it's something that I was preaching at our church a couple of weeks ago about being intentional about listening, and just about how Moses was spotted the burning bush. And, you know, God was probably speaking for many, many months and no one was listening. And he had to set a bush on fire. And then he had to put an angel inside the bush to actually attract someone's attention. And sometimes we miss what God's saying. So I would encourage us today just to be attentive to what God's saying and listen. And it might just be a phrase or a small word that he wants you to hold on to in your heart for today and for this coming week or for longer. It might be something to treasure. So what I have is, I hope, a word of encouragement for you, but also maybe one or two little challenges. And I was praying last night for a wee while, saying, how am I going to get all this packaged up in a way that it could be brief and concise and structured? And if you see my notes, it's just a jumble. But, you know, I think there's about 10 things I want to say. I could just say 10 sentences and then stop. I believe that these things kind of capture what God wants to say. But I hope that they'll come over. I hope you'll spot these things. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are God who's at work right now, that you're speaking right now. And as we've sung just a few moments ago, open our eyes, open our ears. Lord, we just want to be attentive to your voice, not my voice, Lord, just what you want to say. Lord, you've drawn us to this place. You've drawn us to be together with your people. You've drawn us to worship. And Lord, it's about you, but you're interested in us. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you've prepared. We look to receive from you. We're not embarrassed about receiving from you, Lord. And we want to be good receivers. We don't want to be reluctant, Lord, to receive things that you want to give to us. But we want to receive and unwrap what you have and use what you've given to us. So, Lord, we do look to you now. I pray that you would give us vision, that you would give us wisdom, that you would show us your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, when Myra and Fergus came up down to Edinburgh last time, about 6 weeks ago they were down, and Fergus shared with the church a bit about what God's been doing with you over the last number of months, really pretty much the 3-year period since you became vacant. And, you know, as I said, we've shared a bit of that with you over the time, and it's been great to see how God's led you in different ways and finally to appoint a new pastor, or looking forward to inducting your new pastor just in a short period of time. And I just wanted to say a little bit about our journey as well at Leith Baptist, because Eder's only been our pastor for 3 years. He was an assistant before that with us, so it was an easier transition for us. We didn't have a vacancy. But there's been a number of changes since then, and God's going to bring about change. And I'm sure you're looking forward to some changes. But change can be quite challenging as well. And I've been thinking a little bit about the journey that God takes us on, and how, yes, we're all interested in the destination, and we've been hearing about a couple of a brother and a sister who've gone to that destination even this week, and we can rejoice in that. But God's been reminding me over the last wee while that the journey is important. And you've had a destination that you've been looking to, a short-term one of appointing a new pastor, finding one, first of all. And maybe the focus has very much been on that final moment, the destination, the getting the new pastor. But I think one thing the Lord wants to remind us of today is that how we journey is important. The journey itself is important. And we need to have thanksgiving for the past, faith for today, and hope for the future. And I was just thinking about having faith for the past. And yes, it's recognizing God's faithfulness, but I wonder to what extent, and I know you have a little bit because I heard it this morning in the deacon's prayer meeting, to what extent have you given thanks for the vacancy? Something I would like to encourage you to do in the last few weeks before the new minister takes over. Thank God for the vacancy that you have. It seems a strange thing. A vacancy can be struggle and hard going. But God's been teaching you some really important things during the vacancy, and recognizing what God's been showing you together as a church and thanking God for that, I think is really important. Things about waiting. Waiting is a very hard thing to do, but it's really important spiritual discipline. Just waiting on God and pushing right through to hear God. Seeking some of the things that you've been doing, seeking the Lord, and calls to prayer, and really laying hold of the Word to find what God's saying at this time. Listening to God, listening to what direction He's pointing you in, discerning the Spirit about, you know, who to bring, and making choices, and serving. That's a big thing during a vacancy. People stepping up and taking up new responsibilities, maybe temporarily, but serving in different ways, pulling together. New ministries being raised up. A time of thanksgiving. There's something that I believe God told me to say to you. Give thanks for the vacancy and for all that God's been doing amongst you. It's a preparation time. It's exciting. And these are things that you ought not to leave behind. These are new things that you can carry with you as you have faith for this next period of time that we're really looking forward to with Pete Dale and his wife coming amongst you. We had that transition, as I said, 3 years ago when Eder took over. And each year, God's spoken to us a bit of a word about what He wants to do. In 2013-14, it was about a year of gathering and unity and prayer. So when Eder came, the first thing we did, a lot of fellowship things, and we're drawn together in bigger groups. And there was a number of changes. And you know, again, I believe God wants you to embrace the change that he's going to bring. And we did something at the early stage of Eder's ministry where we came together as a joint house group once a month to pray. And we've always had prayer meetings in the week, but they've maybe not been all that well attended, maybe 10 or 12. But we started this monthly meeting early on. And we started with a meal at 6 o'clock, and it seemed like a crazy thing to do because everyone's busy and working, and how can the church get together at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night and then continue in prayer? And we've had over 40 people, pretty much since the start, every month, gathering for prayer, having a meal, first of all. And that was a change that a lot of people, including myself, didn't think was going to work. And now it's one of the most important meetings that we have, and everybody loves to be there and makes a priority of getting there. And sometimes God's certainly challenged me about saying, oh, that's not going to work. You know, people are not going to be able to do it. But as we step in believing that God's said this is something we have to do and do it, then he just opens a way and new things begin to spring up. In the second year of Eder's ministry, it was a focus around growth and spiritual discernment, training and discipleship. And God gave us a word to change something else. It was changing our house groups. And we changed to something called branch groups. And it was all about being part of the vine. So we changed the name, but it was actually a concept that was important, was about growing up and reaching out. The vine, growing up together and reaching out. And our house groups had always been quite inwardly focused. And it was a challenge God brought to us about being more outwardly focused as well. That we, while we grew up, we were also reaching out as well. So we would have some Bible study meetings, but look for an opportunity for the house group, the branch group, to begin to reach out as well on a different day maybe of the week, doing something different together. And these changes have stretched us, the concept of doing things a little bit differently. And then in 15-16, we talked a lot about sowing and reaping and mobilizing our ministries. And this year, God's really been challenging us about learning kingdom principles and trying to put these things into action. And probably the biggest challenge for us at the moment as a church, and I'm saying some of these things so you can partly pray for us too, is with our children's ministry. As God's been speaking to us about changing our understanding of children's ministry, that it's not about Sunday school and taking the children out necessarily, but to look for ways of the children fulfilling their ministry to the church. The children have a ministry in the church as well. So we're exploring different ways of how the children can minister to us as a congregation. There are many things to do with faith and having faith for today that the children are better at than we are. And so God's beginning to teach us some of these principles. So do remember us as we're on our journey. That's just a short bit of sharing about, you know, where we've come from, where we're at. In the context of saying, allow yourself to be challenged by some of the changes that maybe Pete, but also the leadership, and maybe some of you from within, God's going to touch your heart and say, I think we should be maybe doing this maybe in a slightly different way. And it's amazing as we begin to step forward with God, how he opens things up. And as I say, I personally was skeptical about that early change about the monthly branch groups, but now it's such an important meeting for us where we gather the whole church to pray, and we may now make business meeting decisions at that meeting and all sorts of different things. So it's exciting. And the journey is important. So I don't know how you're feeling just now at the tail end of vacancy. Are you feeling refreshed, energized, ready for action? Or are you kind of feeling tired and exhausted from serving away over that time and ready to sit back and receive. I hope that's not it. I don't think that's it. We'll see. Having faith for now, being expectant, excited about what God's going to do. We've had quite a bit of teaching. I think when Eder came, he spoke a bit about identity as well, one of the times that he came up here to Shetland. And the thought of mobilizing ministry as we move forward now with a new pastor. And I'm saying a new pastor, I'm saying we, partly because I believe we're connected a bit, and I can do that because I'm with you, and we're with you in this new time. But also, just 2 weeks ago, we appointed a new pastor too, alongside Edda. I don't know if that news had got through. God's, something he's doing is resourcing us up at the moment. So we appointed a couple of new elders a couple of weeks ago, and also Andre, who was up with Edder, has moved from South Leith to our church, and he's now an assistant pastor with us. So that's exciting. And looking forward to what God's going to do with that new release of resource amongst us. And that's what God's bringing to you, a new, exciting resource to graft in to the foundations here at Lerwick Baptist. What God's going to build is going to look a bit different, but the DNA of the church is the same, and God's going to build on foundations that he's already prepared. So that's exciting. So how are you feeling? Do you feel energized? Do you feel ready to move? Do you feel ready to rise up in some of the ministries God's been building, or ready to participate with what God's going to bring and do? I think that sometimes we get this a little bit confused, and we think about doing. And another little word of encouragement, I'm trying to flag them up, these 10 things or so as I go, that I felt God wanted me to say, was that he's called you to be believers, not do-leavers. It's not all about doing, it's about being. And it's about being who we're meant to be in Christ. So the mobilization of ministry that will continue and grow, it's about being in the right place and doing the right things. And actually, for some, it actually will be releasing some ministry that maybe you've had to take up temporarily or for a time. And so seeking God about what he wants you to be doing. And Gillian was talking about us all being part of the body and all having a different part to play. But sometimes we can block people who need to grow in ministry. They need to make some space for releasing other people to come up in ministry. So it's about being and really searching and understanding what God is calling us all to be and being in the right place. Can we open our Bibles in John 15? This is a great passage about being. And again, it came up at the pre-service prayer meeting with the deacons. John shared the word about cleaving to the Lord, and I referenced that in a prayer. And I can't remember who it was, maybe Eric, talking about being grafted into the vine. And so this passage is a great passage. We'll read it through John 15, 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Isn't that a great scripture, John 50? One of my favorite passages. I paused for a minute in the middle there, not for effect. I just, my eyes are going a bit, and I'd lost my place as I was reading, just in that gap there. But it's a great passage, and obviously I'm not going to preach on the passage here. It's in the middle of what I'm saying. There's not time to do it justice, but I just want to pick out a few things this morning again, as a reminder, as an emphasis around this aspect of being and being in Christ, and that being so important for us. This is the concept now of our branch groups about growing up and reaching out. But if we look at the first chunk in verse 1 through to verse 8, you can see that it's quite clear there in verse 5 that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and God is proactively working on us, the gardener, so that we're going to be best placed to fulfill his plans for our life. So in verse 2, you can see the pruning that's going on. And often a vacancy time can be a time of pruning as well, just preparing for fruit to come. And we see in verse 2 and verse 8 there that as his disciples, we are to bear fruit. That is our purpose. In fact, later on in 16, we've been called to be fruitful. Maybe come back to that for a minute or two later. And then in verses 4 and 5 talks about the keys to fulfilling our purpose is remaining in Christ. So being in Christ is the most important thing. And then as we move forward into God's plans, and holding on to his purposes and his promises, the words that he's spoken over our lives, that he gives us all the resources that we need. We see that in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. So God's resourcing us and has everything that we need for up ahead. And then in the next little section, section about relationship, 9:9-17, reminds us that this is not a business transaction or anything. This is not a natural principle even. It's about relationship. And that's where love comes in. And we need love for life. Remain in my love. Don't get wrapped up in the ministry for the ministry's sake and lose our first love. It's good to serve. And it's good to serve responsibly. It's good to serve out of duty as well, to an extent. But there needs to be love and joy that comes out of that relationship of being in Christ. And, if we've lost a bit of the joy of being in Christ, then just revisiting that place that we have grafted in, reminding ourselves that we're God's sons, no longer slaves, adopted into his family, and that he loves us, and he wants us to remain in his love and be nourished as part of the vine, for that life flow of love to be flowing through our veins spiritually, as it were, to enable us to fulfill our calling of fruitfulness. And then in verse 16, you did not choose me. This is a fundamental calling. But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So we've all been personally chosen. Each individual person in the building here. Personally chosen, handpicked by God for a particular role. Anointed for that purpose. Anointing, quite a heavy spiritual word, but I believe that there's anointing over the ministries and gifts that God has given. His anointing. You see that in the scriptures. An anointing for you to be released in the ministries that God has called you to. In Second Chronicles, it's okay, I'll not do the sword drill, but Second Chronicles, hopefully we can find that, chapter 20 and verse 17. It says here, and you'll remember the story, it's about King Jehoshaphat and the vast armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites had come from Edom, and there was going to be this big battle. We see God speaking to his people in verse 17. And it says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. See the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So another thing that I believe God was saying was to take up your positions. So you've gone through a period of vacancy and there's been different things God's been teaching. It's time to get in alignment just with what God's about to do and take up your positions. For some, it might be releasing certain things and taking up the place that God has for you right now to be ready to move ahead. And recognize that as God is taking the church on this journey, that also as individuals we're all journeying as well. And there's lots of different things going on in our lives. The battle is raging around about us. I know that in our personal circumstances we all face lots of different challenges. And the battles are always going on. They will go on. But the Lord is saying, take up your position. Stand. Stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. Be in Christ. Stand with him. Allow his life to flow through your being. Again, it's amazing all the different things that came up at the pre-service prayer meeting. David was reading from Habakkuk 2 about the same thing. Standing in position. It's a time for standing, watching what God's doing, joining in with that. And if we go over to Ephesians chapter 6, we can see the same words about standing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. God just asks us to stand and be what he's called us to be. Believers, bearing fruit in Christ, remaining in his love, connected to the vine. Let's not be overwhelmed by the tasks of ministry, but be overwhelmed by God's love for us and his provision for us, sustaining us as part of the vine. It's time to stand in alignment, to take up our positions. Just finally, a scripture, another scripture to leave with you. For some, this may be, maybe you've been waiting, and you've been, you did, in obedience, listen for something that God was going to say, and he still hasn't said anything to you. I hope that's not the case. But maybe it's this. Joshua chapter 3. Verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between it, between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So in order for us to move out from our positions, we need to know what our positions are. We need to take up our positions to be able to move as God instructs us to move. So being ready, being attentive to what God's saying, looking for God and joining in. And sometimes it's just a sense in our spirit it's the right thing to do and joining in with what God's saying and taking a step of faith. And there's a little warning in here as well, a couple of warnings. If we do this, take up your positions, then move out and follow the Lord, then you'll know which way to go. So it's about actually stepping out first. We don't get all the answers necessarily, but stepping out in faith and just responding to what God said right in front of us. Sometimes he doesn't give us everything, the whole picture, because we probably wouldn't go there. But just leads us step by step. And it's interesting, he says, since you've never been this way before. So there's exciting things up ahead. We have hope for the future, thanksgiving for the past, faith for the present, hope for the future. But you've never been this way before. And that's exciting. And I hope you have energy for that in the spirit, and excitement in the spirit about what's coming up ahead. So a wee warning here. Keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was God's holy presence in the Old Testament. And of course, a couple of guys were unfortunately, and sometimes we think kind of unfairly, struck down touching the ark. But I think that's a warning just to say, this is God's word, God's direction. Keep our hands off it. Let's not try to control what God's doing. So keep a distance from our own desires. This is what God's wanting to do amongst us. So allow God to be God and allow God to show us where to go. And that's an exciting adventure. So there'll be changes, I'm sure, as there's been changes for us in the last 3 years and more to come now with a new pastor coming for us as well alongside Eder. And I look forward to the change, and some of the change is going to be uncomfortable, but it's about sensing in our spirits the right thing to do and to go. We've not been this way before, but that's exciting. And these final verses just that I read there about consecrating yourselves and just being ready for what God's going to do. So again, the next few weeks, just spending some time in prayer. I know your leaders are really doing that. And you know, I'm sure as a church as well, just praying, welcoming in the Spirit in advance, the advance party, preparing the way of the Lord for when Pete and his family come up here, just looking to him. So I have tried to package up a number of things that I wanted just to express that I felt God was saying, and I hope you've been able to pick up a few things. Today, this morning, we've been speaking about fruitfulness and about the fruits. Tonight, I want to speak a little bit more about mobilization of ministry and about gifts as well. And, you know, these two things are so important. The fruits, the character of Jesus, and the gifts, the conduct of Jesus. Both things really important. But the fruitfulness, all about being. And that's fundamental for us to develop that character of fruitfulness. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move to communion together. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the different things that I believe you desire to impart to your people. Some things for the church and some for individuals. Lord, I thank you for the whole time that we've been together, and we look forward now to a time of communion and just looking to you, reminding ourselves about being in Christ together in communion with you, and that life and that love, remaining in that and allowing that to flow. I pray that, Lord, that you would continue with us now, and that you would enable us to hold on to the things that you really want us to take away. In Jesus' name, amen.